In our brother David Bruce's presentation this evening, it will include a slide presentation. So I'm going to ask the ushers to darken the auditorium.
In this time of history is that we are able to travel to faraway places, not like this by a covered wagon, but we can do it quickly and comfortably to meet with the brethren in conventions. It is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel 12, verse 4, where Daniel says that many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. We use this increase of knowledge and ease of travel to our spiritual benefit when we do it to attend a convention such as this one. How much more our prayers mean to us when we pray for God's people all over the world, and we can picture them in our minds as we pray. Truly, this is a great blessed privilege for us at this time. In most instances, when we meet at our home cities, we meet in small groups. And sometimes when we do so, we may get to feeling like Elijah when he felt that he was all alone and the only one who had not bowed the knee to Baal. He said, I only am left and remain a prophet of the Lord. When the convention committee decided to have a report on the activities of brethren in various lands and asked me to provide such a report, I wrote to many brethren all over the world asking certain questions. One question was to determine, as closely as we could, how many we are in number. Now, we know such an estimate cannot be completely accurate. And when we did not have the name of someone in a country, we talked to others who had thoughts on the questions, and this report is the result of that effort. The first question that we asked was, what is your estimate of the number of those who believe in the harvest message? Now, we ask that Jehovah's Witnesses and others who have changed major points of the harvest message be excluded. As nearly as we can judge from the responses, there are in the world today approximately 12,000 who appreciate and believe the harvest message as presented by Brother Russell. Question number two, we ask, of those who believe the harvest message, how many are truly consecrated? Again, judging from the responses, the number is 7,000. Just as it was in the days of Elijah, so it is today. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that hath not kissed him. This is certainly very interesting to me. A very interesting number. So, my brethren, I hope this will be a comforting thought to all of us as we realize that just as Elijah was not alone, so we are not alone. Even though in our various ecclesias we may be small in number, God still has 7,000 whom he counts as his own people. Now, I realize that numbers are not the important thing, but I must confess that I became excited when the numbers were so much like those of Elijah's experience. The third question that we asked was, how many elders are there in your country? After totaling the numbers from all the countries, we find that there are approximately 550 brethren who are acting as our elders. And this is about the number of people who are attending this convention. Subsequent questions asked about the activities of the brethren in groups or in the ecclesias and as individuals. And the responses show that we are all united in certain fundamental activities, showing a remarkable oneness of as body members on this side of the veil. Bible study is a major activity everywhere. Paul advises us in 1 Timothy the 4th chapter, verse 6, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In all the responses, we find a united use of the helps that have been provided by our returned Lord, and a united respect and acceptance of the one wise and faithful servant, Brother Russell. None can equal the beauty and the grandeur of his scriptural outline of the divine plan of the ages. Since his passing, our present servants, or elders as we call them, help us to understand present-day events as they fulfill the scriptures, which in Brother Russell's day he could not see as clearly as we do today. He himself said, prophecy is best understood after it is fulfilled. I was again excited and pleased to see what the brethren are studying and how the studies are continuing among God's people. We next asked what each one felt we should emphasize as we would meet together for study. And our survey showed that studies on humility, sacrifice, and attitude, which includes the thought of love one for another, were at the top of the list of those points of study that we should endeavor to feel are most important. Next came knowledge of the doctrines, and next a study and a knowledge of what we should know what God would have us do. Then there seemed to be an equal emphasis upon thankfulness and works, including works within ourselves and as a public witness to others. Next came behavior, which includes the matter of how well we apply the principles of God's teachings in our daily life. Then there was the matter of suffering, the last item that was mentioned. In considering how these points were rated, I must acknowledge I was pleased with the answers that were given. It verifies that the battle within ourselves and the development of a character like that of our Lord and Savior Jesus is of prime importance to the brethren everywhere. Our next category is group activities, as it concerns first those activities to serve the brethren, and second, those activities connected with the public. Paul in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 10, makes a similar distinction. He says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially to the household of faith. In most countries, I find the brethren following the pattern established by Brother Russell. First of all, having a central publishing place where truth literature can be printed for the benefit of all the body members. Brethren work as volunteers, not receiving any pay except for things needful. And the work is supported by the various ecclesias. Monthly or bi-monthly, truth magazines are printed with articles taken from the lessons of Brother Russell's or articles from brethren regarding how we should look at today's events. Then study meetings are held regularly as often as possible, again following the pattern that Brother Russell established. The Apostle Paul said, this is important. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. What day was he talking about? Why, the day when the church is completed. If our numbers are correct, about the number of consecrated still left on this side of the veil, 95% of the church is gone and are with the Lord, and only 5% of us are left. Someday, someone will be the last one left and be all alone. World events certainly indicate that that day may not be too far away. Conventions are also held for meeting together. These serve the purpose of exchanging thoughts and blessings and are very beneficial. We not only exchange thoughts on doctrine, but in our fellowship together, one with another, we learn of the struggles and the difficulties of our brethren and how they are dealing with those. We learn and hear about examples of faith through trials of others that help us to stop complaining about the cross that we must bear. It is so small compared with the cross that others are carrying. Brother Russell established a pilgrim service, and that is another blessing which continues to fill a very important need. Those who are isolated, the ones or twos or threes, are especially blessed by actual visits from others. Telephone calls are fine, but for those who are alone, no, letters are fine also. But for those who are alone, an actual personal visit, a touch of the hand, seeing a smile, hearing a voice, and being able to ask questions is a source of comfort that cannot be measured by us unless we have been isolated for a time. Hospitality for visitors from other cities and countries is one of the most pleasant duties that is provided by one member of the body for another. You know, the world cannot understand how we can go to another country all over the world, not knowing anyone, yet be friends immediately with those with whom we meet who will take care of all of our needs. We enter into another home whose owners give up their own comforts for us. No payment is asked. Each considers it an honor to provide for the guest who has come to enjoy Christian fellowship. Those in the home sacrifice both money and effort on behalf of the welcome guests, and I might add, especially the sisters are very important in this activity of the brethren. And these activities are practiced universally by all brethren everywhere. Brother Russell calls this a part of our present inheritance. And the question we all should ask ourselves is whether we are taking advantage of all these provisions that have been made for our spiritual benefit. Now, we must caution, however, those who would abuse some of these arrangements by remaining beyond a reasonable length of time. We would not want to create a hardship for the host and his family. So we must be aware that it is better to leave sooner than expected to stay too long. Now, we ask about special activities which are done for the brethren as well as the public. Now, you will note that I'm not naming any organizations. It is no secret to any of us that within our fellowship we have different divergent opinions as to what we should do and how we should do it, and divergent views on some of features of Scripture and their application. Thus, we have divisions that may affect our activities and even affect those with whom we meet. But I feel that as long as there is a unity of the Spirit, each one should be permitted to work in that corner of the vineyard for which they feel they are best qualified, and which they can support with all their heart, leaving the rest to the Lord. There is more than one work to be done. There is more than one right way to serve the Lord. The Apostle Paul had to deal with a similar problem. How did he deal with it? His answer is in Philippians, the first chapter, verses 15 to 18. We will read only verse 18. He says, "What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein I rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." What are some of the activities that we might join if we're not already participating in one of these special activities that we've already talked about? Well, a very special type of activity is one that was started in England. And this was to provide a place where brethren could retire in their late years, especially when they were alone and had no family to take care of them. This place is a place called Gainsborough House. It is doing well, and plans are underway for more building, I understand. We also have a retirement home in the United States in Gresham, Oregon. That's near Portland. There are plans for another home to be built in another location when the Gresham home is filled. And I understand that the Polish brethren are also in the process of establishing a retirement home. We have brethren who have joined together on a volunteer basis within an ecclesia to reprint many of the old books, articles, and literature that perhaps cannot be done by a central publishing house. So an ecclesia establishes a reprinting project to make these blessings available to others. Some ecclesias in the United States send out a newsletter reporting about conventions or those who are in special need or facing difficult problems, or some who have had special joys or blessings. Several groups of brethren put on radio programs. Some of these are in the United States, but reach other countries such as Mexico and South America. Others are in France, Canada, Australia, India, and Africa. The brethren in Canada broadcast a program in the Ukrainian language, even though Canada is primarily an English and secondarily a French-speaking country. Now, we recognize that access to radio and even television time is not necessarily allowed by every government, so this activity cannot be done everywhere. Television is also used. We in the United States broadcast the gospel message as we have opportunity. And just as Brother Russell did in his day, he tried to use the latest technology, so we also do the same. Newspaper and magazine advertising is another public witness activity used in many countries to encourage the distribution of booklets on various topics to the public. We plant the seed and let the Lord provide the increase. On an individual level, we find brethren using their talents to provide witness helps, such as motion picture films, to be shown in public places, and slide presentations, such as For This Cause, or The Great Pyramid, and Archaeology Proves the Bible. Some of the discourses are recorded on cassette tape, so they can be shown in a home to our neighbors or our friends that do not have an enjoy the truth, as long as we have a video cassette player. And I understand For This Cause has been updated now to use motion pictures, not just slides, and is now available on video cassettes. Many send out tracts by mail to bereaved ones, or just to a mailing list. This activity can sometimes find a grain of wheat. In Seattle, we've had just such an experience. We mailed 1,000 tracts to a mailing list, and we found one grain of wheat that had been planted 19 years earlier. And that person is now attending our meetings and rejoicing with us. After many years of radio witness and personal visits, a recent activity in South America resulted in the first convention to be ever held there since the days of Brother Russell. Many ecclesias, or some brethren as individuals, have placed sets of volumes in the public libraries. And a pilgrim trip throughout Mexico and several South America countries recently received much interest. A grain of wheat was found here and there, struggling to learn about God's love in many isolated places. A new daily manna has been published in English so that it is easier for young people to read and understand. Are we stuck on the Bellevue Library? Brethren are working on sophisticated computer projects to make the Bible and the volumes quickly accessible for topical studies. Others are using computers to organize Brother Russell's thoughts by scriptural citation in an easily accessible set of books. Brethren everywhere are trying to use their talent for the Lord. Those unable to attend conventions, we have young people's seminars too that we forgot to mention. They're very important. I think that young people's seminars are good for our young people. They can invite their friends to them and they can learn what we know about the scriptures. Then we have those who are unable to attend conventions, such as our sister in Seattle. They are being sent letters and cards with many signing them and including a word of encouragement. This provides a rich comfort to those who are unable to attend, but it's almost like being there. The old audio tapes that brought us only a voice are now bringing us videotape with a picture of the person speaking and it's his voice. Personal witness activity should not be forgotten, including the witnessing to our neighbors, friends, fellow workers, and anyone who will listen to us about the scriptures. And finally, let us, by our example, show others that we have been with Jesus and learned of him. That ends our report, brethren, and I trust that this report will be of benefit to us all as we consider it and as we use its examples of activity to honor and glorify our Heavenly Father. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bruce. We enjoy always seeing what friends are doing. And we have a very vivid picture now in our minds of the activities.
Our loving and eternal Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy and righteous name. Reverently and in the name of Jesus, we come into thy presence. So thankful for our many blessings. We thank thee for our brethren and the fellowship that we enjoy. We thank thee for the helps that have been provided, dear Father, and pray that we may use the knowledge that we have of thy plans and purposes to share it with others, that we might be a blessing to all with whom we meet, but especially to the household of faith. We pray thy forgiveness when we fall short. We realize we fall far short daily of thy perfection, and ask that thou grant unto us a greater measure of thy Holy Spirit, that we might see thy guidance and thy leadings in our daily lives, and know what thou wouldst have us do more clearly and in a way that would be pleasing to thee. And now we pray that thou continue with the remaining sessions of this convention throughout this week. Bless us as we listen, and bless our brethren who will serve us, that we may be benefited spiritually, and that we may walk more closely to thee and be more active in thy service. And we ask it all, and we pray for thy kingdom to come soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.